God, as we sang this song, Noel, come and see what God has done. Father, we believe that you are alive and active today. That as we gather this morning, we're not celebrating simply some past event, some past story. There's not just sort of some marker in some field somewhere that we kind of gather around, if you like, to remember and to celebrate. No, we believe that there is very much a story, but this story continues today because our God, our Lord and Savior Jesus, who was a baby, is alive, and the Spirit of God is continuing to work in and through our lives. And God, that's amazing. In this whole world of religion, I suppose, if we would say, spirituality, there's nothing to compare. You are alive. You are at work today. God, I lift the heartache that is here this morning. I know in a room this size, there are likely many unspoken needs, burdens, some news that came this week that maybe is being guarded and shielded very deeply and deep within someone's heart and soul. And there's pain in that. God, you know of it. Would you reach in? Would you let them know that you're aware? God, would you touch their lives? Would they in some way, God, in your miraculous way this morning, would they know your hope? God, there are some this morning who are nervously anticipating a gathering sometime this week. And they're just not sure about it. This time of season, God, can be one of such great joy and celebration, but also one of a lot of concern and weight and relational angst. God, I pray that there might be some relational restoration this week. God, that you might come in and that you might help people to sort of lay down their anger, to lay down their past sort of declarations about somebody and maybe their past or maybe something that they have done. That God, like you, we would offer people grace, a fresh start. And so, God, this morning we're here. We pray that you would break us out of maybe some form of routine, but that we would know that you are alive, that you are present, and that you want to speak to us this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just before we do get rolling, just want to remind you that Christmas Eve is coming, which means on December 23rd, we're going to have a service. Okay, some of you caught that. Yes, Christmas Eve is coming, okay? And on December 23rd, which is the eve of Christmas Eve, we like to call it here, we're having a service. We recognize some of you can't make it out on the 24th, family obligation, things like that. You're traveling. We have a service on the 23rd. Just so you know, no morning services on the 23rd, okay? That's a Sunday, no morning services, all right? I know some of you are going to show up. God bless you. That'll be awesome. We might plug a coffee pot out there for you. But there will be a service here at 6 p.m., all right? And then on the Christmas Eve itself at the Wilkinson Road campus, there will be a 3:30, a 5 p.m., and a 7:30. We're also having a 6 p.m. service out at CPC. So lots of options for you. We look forward to celebrating with you, with family, maybe some friends, neighbors, coworkers. Love to have you come and be a part of that. As Steve mentioned, 2019 is coming. My goodness, that's crazy. We are excited as we talk with people and journey with people about taking their next steps. One of those next steps is baptism. And we are planning a baptism service on January 13th. Great way to start a new year. If you have never been baptized and you're wondering what that looks like and you're trying to figure out what it is to follow Jesus, this is a great first step for you. So if you're interested, contact us here at the office. Talk to us personally. You can do that too. You could talk to us personally after the service. We'd love to hear about that as a staff and love to be able to talk to you about that. And so that's January 13th. All right, that's all I need to make mention of. I mentioned, you've heard already, second week of Advent. Talking about the names of Jesus, he shall be called. Do you remember what it was last week? Can you remember? Can you help me out here a little bit? He's a wonderful, thank you very much. And when you go to a counselor, Steve reminded us that there's three things that you should do when you go to a counselor. A little active participation today. What's the first thing you should do when you go see a counselor? You're going to be honest. Nice. Some of you are opening your mouths hoping something would come out appropriate. Well done. You need to be honest, okay? The second thing you should do if you're going to a counselor, you should probably do what? Listen. Nicely done. All right. And the third thing you should do if you're going to pay the money, right, to go to a counselor, you should be honest, you should listen, and you should act or do. Absolutely. Well done. Steve clearly communicated well last week. Hope I can do the same this week. Isaiah chapter 9 is where we come out of this story. We're reminded in Isaiah 9 verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So clearly this morning we're looking at this concept that he shall be called Mighty God. Now it's interesting when you think about Mighty God that our first glimpse of this Mighty God, if you like, is of a little baby. Baby Jesus, right? A child is born. Now, he was a baby just like this guy right here, little Max. You knew he was coming. You can't do Christmas without another little picture of little Max from Red Deer, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my goodness. Now, such a cute little baby. Am I right? What are you going to say? Don't let that picture fool you. When these little tiny human beings arrive, everything changes. These little human beings that can basically do nothing for themselves are incredibly mighty because they change the entire world around them. Am I right? If you have children, you get it. I mean, sleep, what is that? How, when, where? I mean, they'll do it anywhere, but you, not happening. Eating and meal times is a whole new event. I remember as a new parent watching my little baby regurgitating stuff, and the first few times I'd be like dry heaving because it was it was hard to handle, and then soon it's just like, whatever, I'm hungry, you know, and you just totally get used to it, and it's just kind of crazy. Everything with this new little baby is more complex. I mean, absolutely everything. How you get ready in the morning, you're showering. How do you get out the door is a crazy. There's a really funny story on that on YouTube. Michael McIntyre, if you're interested, a little plug for him. Amazing on getting out the door with a kid. Shopping. You are in sections of stores buying products that you didn't even know existed. You're Googling things that you don't even know how to spell. And it just changes everything, doesn't it? It's amazing. They, frankly, take over. Little Max, like all other little boys and girls, change people's worlds. Our mighty God, baby Jesus, changed the world. He disrupts our world, if we like. And he disrupted Mary and Joseph's world. Remember? Engaged? Not married yet? Mary says to Joseph, I'm pregnant. And he is like any other guy going, what is that? How? Well, he knew how. But who? God? Crazy, unbelievable story. The shame that they were facing, the ridicule, it started like baby Jesus disrupted their world. A baby is mighty. And our mighty God, baby Jesus, changes things. And the question I have for you this morning, is he changing things for you? As you enter into this Christmas season, we've done this a few times, some of us more than others, right? Is it same old? Or is there still the wonder of this baby Jesus and all of who he is and what he wants to do? Is it still changing you? Is it still catching you off guard, disrupting you? Second thought this morning, this idea of mighty God, fully man. Mighty God, fully man. Listen closely to this passage. If you got a Bible, smartphone, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. This is a passage that, you know, we often sort of go to, and it's sort of one of these rich in sort of theological terms and sort of a treatise, if you like, a very powerful statement about who Jesus is. And let's look at this very familiar passage and let's notice some things. So Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, and it says there, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now, we can quickly sort of jump into the middle of this, and some of us start throwing around words like, yeah, this is the passage about the incarnation. God became man. And that's all wonderful, and it is all absolutely true. And the mighty God, okay, became fully man, and this is a very significant theological set of verses, but can we notice how it's prefaced? Did you catch verse 5? This mighty God who became fully man is incredibly concerned about your relationships. And this thing, this weird term, incarnation, where God stepped out of heaven and became man, came in such a way as to give us direction and guidance in our relationships. We notice in here that in these few verses, this mighty God was willing to disadvantage himself. Did you catch that? It was not for his own advantage that he came down here. Not for his own advantage. It says in here that he took on the nature of a servant. This is mighty God, right? Is now living in such a way as for the advantage of others and is serving others. And it says in there that he humbled himself. I guess mighty God comes down and lives on earth amongst his creation, his created. Not for his advantage, but for ours. Not to be served, but to serve. He humbled himself. lived among his creation, loved all he came across and sacrificed for everyone. Mighty God, fully man. These are two things that just seem in complete contradiction, and yet they become a reality in Jesus. Listen to Colossians chapter 1. This tells you a little bit about this mighty God. Colossians 1 verse 15, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This is sounding like a mighty God, and yet he's fully, this is crazy. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. And yet he was willing to come down and take on the very nature of a man to disadvantage himself for others. This is unbelievable. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. And through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether kings on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Now that sounds like a mighty God, right? Image of God, complete image of God. Did the creating, right? Like had the power, the creative process, like the mind to design all that we see. He was before all things and is in, you know, holds all things together. He's a supremacy. Obviously, when you start adding this up, the answer is he is supreme above all things. And it says that God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him. And yet, this mighty God chose to come down and to become a man and to live and to love and to sacrifice, to disadvantage himself, to serve. He humbled himself. James, Jesus' brother, said this about his brother, Jesus. He was tempted in every way, just as we were, just as we are. Yet he was without sin. This supreme, mighty God came down on earth and was tempted just as we are. He experienced, in other words, all of life. The struggles that you face, the things that you're tempted in, the relational issues, he understands them. He understands those pressures. And yet he never succumbed to them. You see, in your relationships, they matter to him. Your relationships at work matter to him. In your home, in the store, at the rink, at the restaurant, in the lunchroom, the Christmas dinner, New Year's party, your staff gatherings, those relationships matter. Do you remember that? Because what can happen is we can read these sort of theological, deep, rich things about God, and we kind of get into one of these states where it's like we're almost, I don't know, sort of up here somewhere with the angels singing Gloria and Excelsis Deo stuff, right? And we're taken away somewhere. And Jesus goes, I was there, and I came down here, and I want to change your relationships. And although I had all authority and all power, and I was mighty, I was willing to come down and to live my life in such a way that I disadvantaged myself for the advantage of others. And although I probably deserved to be served, I mean, he was the creator, the fullness of all God is in him. He came down to serve. He humbled himself. Context is so important. This statement about who Jesus was, that he took on the nature of a human being just like you and I, was in the context of relationships. Are you willing to disadvantage yourself for the advantage of others? Are you willing to serve? Are you willing to humble yourself? Mighty God, I mean, that takes some strength. Am I right? Doesn't it? My goodness, it takes strength not to say those things because you have got the perfect response. You've thought about it. You went to the family gathering. You knew they were going to say it. You thought of the perfect response to shut them up, put them in their place. And are you going to go or not? Like, gloves off? Are we flying at it or not? When's the year? When's the year that we choose to enter into relationships as Jesus has called us to? Yeah, mighty God, baby Jesus. Oh my goodness, changes everything. Mighty God, fully man, has so much to say to demonstrate on how we live our relationships. Let me ask you a few questions. Do you live for your advantage? Like, do you go through the day living for your advantage? Like making decisions kind of moment by moment for your advantage? Like, do most of the decisions that you make every day, are they based off of your position, your status? Maybe your sense of power in a certain, you know, world order there? Is that sort of the position? Is that where you make your decisions? Is that kind of how you roll? Is that what that's all about? Listen, I understand when you're at work and in different settings and things like that, there might be times where, yeah, you've got to make that call because you're, you know, on the flow chart or whatever. But is that the way it always is? Is that just what you live for? Because that's not how our mighty God chose to enter into those relationships. Do you love for your advantage? We talk all the time about unconditional love. Oh my goodness, what a great phrase. That is so hard. I mean, come on. If I do this, seems logical that then they will do that. Right? I mean, that's kind of the way. Okay, that's the way I think. You're looking at me like, I don't think like that. Yeah, okay. Liar, liar, pants on fire. So hard to just go, I just want to do this. I'm not expecting anything in return. Okay? Test this at Christmas. When you give a gift to somebody, did they say thank you? Because you're still thinking of the person last year who didn't. You're wondering, what do I do this year? Do I or don't I? That's got some conditions on it. Am I right? Right? Like, come on. It's got some conditions. Man, it's hard. Do you love sort of for your advantage, for that, you are a pretty good guy, you're a great lady, oh my goodness, right? Like, that's not what our mighty God did. That's not how he came and went about it. Do you sacrifice for your advantage? You know, that's what I was talking about just now a little bit, this no strings generosity. Almighty God, fully man. He lived, he loved, he sacrificed for the advantage of others, and that's our call. Okay, third thought. Mighty God. Source. Resource. Source. The place something comes from or starts at. The cause of something. Jesus is our mighty God, is our source. He's the cause of this thing we call Christianity, this, the reason we're here this morning. He is our source. It comes from him. It starts with him. He's the cause of it. But not only that, this is the thing that I love. Not only that, he's just not sitting somewhere going, here it is, here's the target. Good luck with that. Let me know when you're there. He actually came down and lived and showed us the way. But again, it even gets better than that. He leaves, right? If you know the story, you know, after Easter, it's Christmas. I know, pushing it to even talk about Easter. But he comes, right, and he goes back up to heaven. And when he goes up to heaven, he goes, it's better for you because I'm sending the Holy Spirit, who's the one who's going to empower you to live this out. So not only is he the source, but he's the resource. He's here for us today. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Great set of verses. Just love how Peter lays this out. If I can find it. Love it. Should have put the little markers in there. Here we go. We're getting there. Oh, got it. Okay. This is Peter. To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. That's that supreme being stuff we read about in Colossians. It's unbelievable. Having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. It just keeps getting better. This is unbelievable. Our God, mighty God, becomes baby Jesus, fully man, shows us how to live, and doesn't just say, well, now that you got the pattern, he goes, no, I want to be your resource. I want to be your strength in order to do this. The divine power of God is at our fingertips. The fullness of God. He says, for everything, all areas of our life, to live a godly life, to live well, to relate well, to love all, to sacrifice for others. Paul said in Colossians, when you sort of finish that section we were reading earlier, he said there that Christ is in us, and that's the hope of glory. This mighty God is in us through the Spirit of God, and it's our hope. It's our hope. You see, our God wants to link arms with us. Paul said, I strenuously contend with all his energy which works within me. He said, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. He was talking to Timothy and he said, Timothy, the Spirit is going to come and it's going to give you a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. This mighty God offers himself to us. 1 John 3, Hebrews 2, Colossians 2 all talk about how he came to defeat the enemy. The devil made me do it does not need to be our mantra or our hashtag or our epithet. Tuth? Tuh. Tuth? Epithet. Tuh. If Funny things that go through your mind when you're standing in front of a few hundred people. Romans 8 says, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that dwells in you and I. Mighty God, baby Jesus, fully man, he cares about our life on earth, cares about our relationships, wants to be our source. He wants to resource you. He is our supreme source before all things. He cherishes us, he forgives us, he restores us. He is our mighty, mighty God. John 10 says, he disadvantaged himself for us that we might have life and that we might have it to the full. He's come to defeat death, to defeat despair, to defeat dispassionate existence. He's come to restore broken lives, to bring healing to our souls, to forgive and release us from our past, to give us courage to get up and face the day, to walk through that door into that meeting, to actually say, yes, I will come to that party, even though you know who is going to be there. He gets us. He understands us. And so I'm asking myself and I'm asking you this morning, are we going to allow this mighty God, little baby Jesus, disrupt us this year to change things, to change our relationships, to deal with our excuses? God, thank you so much for this story, this reminder, this baby Jesus. And just as a baby kind of comes in and just in its presence just changes everything, Lord Jesus, may you do that for us. May we recognize, Jesus, that when you came, that you came in a very unique posture, that you came not to advantage yourself, but to advantage others. May we take that on. And God, that's a tall task, and that's a hard thing for us to do. May we recognize that you don't just point us the way, you didn't just show us the way, but you want to resource us. You want to empower us in how to live that out. And so for your glory, God, we're going to lean into that this season. We're going to sing about it. We're going to read about it. We're going to pray about it. We're going to ask you to do things in our lives, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our world that we've never seen before. You love us. You love those who are giving us all kinds of headaches right now. God, may we learn from you how to be that relational being. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.